If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks, for closet Christs. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings in the divine love of the One Beloved. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command, Cosmic Pep Talks for Closet Christs. This evening, our seminar topic is Consciously Exercise Your Divinity. Consciously exercise your divinity. So let's start with an attunement and relax. Come present. Feel the energy inside your body. And know that that energy, that life force inside your body, has one divine source. That is the divine life within you. That's that vitality that you feel inside your body. So focus into that, if you will, and take a deep breath. And allow that divinity within you to quicken and come alive. See, all the cells of your body just zap into vitality. And surcharge them with your intention and will that they host and source the highest vibration that you can integrate tonight. That would be for your next advancement, that would be for your increase tonight in whatever area you're open and ready to expand into. Because divinity is always expanding. It's never static. And so that consciousness, that energy that is within you and beyond that which seems to circumscribe your physical presentation, that is ever going to the next level. It is always expanding to greater joy, greater creative potentiality exercised. And the exercising, because you are divine, needs to be implemented at a conscious level. You can't sit like a bump on the log and expect much to happen. Unless that bump on the log is fully God-realized, in which case you could be sitting and occupying the totality of the universes. But most of us identify with levels less than our divinity. So let me ask you, with what do you identify yourself? Do you think of yourself as your name, your form? The role you're playing in life as a husband, a father, a brother, a wife, a sister, a lover? Do you see yourself as simply a human being? Have you ever just owned the fact that you're divine? Have you ever acted out of the assumption that you're divine and perfect? And that anything that you associate with less than that is simply not true. It's going to fall away at some point as you awaken to your true identity. So let's let it be now. Why wait? Why delay? Why delay heaven when it is within you at every moment? So take another deep breath. And make it okay inside yourself to simply return your awareness to your divinity. And ask that you awaken in whatever way would be for your highest good to your divine nature. And Father, Mother, God, we ask for the anointing and clothing with your Holy Spirit to invest each person listening tonight and the speaker with your overlighting presence and wisdom. Not only your voice and your message may be heard this evening, bypassing all the inadequacies of our points of misidentification, as we consciously choose to come into more conscious awareness of our true divine nature and heritage. And into thy hands, O Lord, we commend our spirit in this evening and all that takes place here. And just let that inhabit you as a resonance of availability tonight for your highest good. So we are always exercising and strengthening something in our lives. And the key is to be conscious and selective in what we are exercising and strengthening. So what area of your consciousness in your life are you exercising the most? It's what you do every day. It's what you talk about. It's what you read about. It's what you focus on. It's what you share in your phone conversations and on your status reports. It's what you tweet. It's what you share in your text messages. It's what you are all about day in and day out. That is the area you are exercising and strengthening the most. So you know what it is because, excuse me, I'm going to do some clearing on some of your throat chakras tonight. Okay. So you know what it is because it is your go-to default setting. And it is most likely what is running your life and motivating your expression. Now, most people are aware of the fact that whatever they exercise, they are strengthening. I mean, physically, that's very evident, as we all know from experience. But what is less known is that this is a principle that applies to everything. Yes, literally everything. Your habit patterns, your thinking and speaking, your behavior, your beliefs, your emotional reactions, the feelings you entertain. All of these grow stronger with your exercising. And they go into developing your overall state of consciousness, your field of influence, your personality, and your character. So why not practice identifying with God, with your divinity? You know, spiritual exercising is really a matter of aligning yourself with a spiritual current. Spiritual things work best by not pushing or demanding or forcing or even asking for such a thing or the other. Because when you ask for something, it's implied that you don't have it already. So even our praying is against the very thing that we would embrace of more fully, our conscious awareness of our divinity. So it's a matter of placing yourself lovingly in the hands of the beloved and allowing that which is for your highest spiritual advancement, to come into you without resistance, without a sense of it isn't for you, or you're not spiritually advanced enough, or it's too much, or any of the other distancing tactics that the lower nature often brings up. What if you just laid all that aside and were open to receive everything that would be for your highest good? And you know, when you go in and out of these higher states of awareness, they're extremely subtle. So you can always set your intention that and awareness that you will remember whatever you really need to record on a conscious level, so that you make that that process of going into those levels and then losing awareness of them, you make that work for you too. Because you know that all teaching, all learning, all information that you imbibe is maximal, which means you derive the ultimate from anything of that nature. And you're bridged through to that perfection, through that which is greater, that is within you. So you can't lose any way you look at it. There's no way that you can lose in reality. So see yourself not as simply a human, but as divine. See yourself as an emissary of the Lord, a divine representative of the great central sun systems. Begin to place your identity with this vaster self that transcends the seemingly limited presentation in time and space. And every day, this is an exercise for all of us, every day practice for a few hours the following things. For a few hours, simply be present, having no judgments, no opinions, no addictions, no preferences, no aversions, no complaints, no expectations, just be present. And that is consciously exercising your divinity. Because the divine, the divinity, is simply the witness of creation. It simply is the objective observer. So if you practice that for a few hours, you're going to feel a tremendous sense of relief. Because all of your stress and sense of burden and anxiety and panic attacks and all of those things that weigh heavily on you come because you think about everything and feel like you have to think about everything. But when you are in that divine, choiceless awareness state, there is no thought. There is simply choiceless awareness. In other words, awareness without having to do anything about what you're aware of. It is that clear light of seership that is known as spiritual awareness or soul consciousness or God consciousness. It's the same thing. It's to be present without manipulating your environment. It's being innocent and practicing that loving acceptance that is the hallmark of every expanded being. So pay attention also whenever you are feeling expansive, free and clear and open to life, enthusiastic, inspired, welcoming. For you are following love's leading. You are practicing soul transcendence and spiritual inner awareness, and you are exercising your divinity. And that's what it feels like to be living in grace and flowing with life. That is being in the world but heeding only heaven. And that is consciously exercising your divinity. So, very few people, aside from those upon a committed path of spiritual practice and accountability, ever discern which area of their nature they are exercising and thus strengthening. So let's take a look at our life, shall we? The place you always begin and end is yourself. So, do you observe and discern which level your conscious or subconscious self is prompting in your expression? Do you observe? Can you tell? Is it your human nature or your divine nature? Which is it that is primarily in action in your life? Go ahead, make an honest assessment of your expression. You might look at how you spent today. How did you spend today? Because it's probably pretty representative of what you did yesterday. And the day before, and the day before, and the day before. And if you want to really shift your awareness, you have to do something different. You can't just keep repeating unconscious patterns and think you're advancing. You're simply recycling your previous momentums or your karmic predispositions. So is your unconscious conditioning running your life, where you just go through life on automatic with little to no conscious direction? And observe that that is actually the state of practically everyone on the planet, except for a small minority who are really choosing to live more consciously. And yet it's that small minority, which would include those of you who are regular participants in our weekly seminars, that are the real movers and shakers in the world. Because things are never shifted from a horizontal level within the world. They're shifted from a vertical perception, a vertical state of higher awareness. Things are shifted in the outer world by a vertical position, not a horizontal action. So you who are listening are interested in mastering your game plan here and in taking your place as a Christed one of these times, as a person who is anointed and divinely commissioned to serve. And your nature is such that even your errors and shortcomings end up serving the collective good. Here's what Sai Baba has to say about our purpose here. And our conscious divinity, I might add. It is through service that man can expect to redeem his life. He is not a man at all who has no kindness and love in him. The path of self-realization lies through love and service. Cultivation of love is the first step. Faith is the basis for love. When faith and love are combined, peace is attained. And in that peace resides truth. Truth reveals the power of sacrifice, tyaga, which alone holds the key to immortality. Man is God, and God is man. Man, with love, is God. Love is the link that binds the two. With love is the motive force and service as the means, the aspirant should seek to attain the supreme goal of life. The most important thing to be noted is that the body has been given to man for the performance of right action. Every person has to discharge his duties in life. It is a sin to ignore one's duties. When everyone performs his duties, the nation will prosper. Perform your duties without regard to what others may say or do. Engage yourself in service activity. Consider social service as service to God. To earn the love of God is to love all and to serve all. Your entire life will be sanctified thereby. Your task as a servant will be done when you know fully well the task for which you earned this human frame, with all its potentialities and possibilities. It is to grow in love. Expand that love. Practice love. Strengthen love. And finally become love and merge in the illimitable love, which is God. All your life must be love, with love, for love. That means love expressed through service to those that draw that love from you, and by drawing help to increase and deepen your love. Spiritual discipline is designed to channel that love so that it may irrigate the heart, which will otherwise go dry. Do not serve for the sake of reward, attracting attention, or earning gratitude, or from a sense of pride at your own superiority and skill, wealth, status, or authority. Serve because you are urged by love. When you succeed, ascribe the success to the grace of God, who urged you on as love within. When you fail, ascribe the failure to your own inadequacy, insincerity, or ignorance. Examine the springs of actions. Disinfect them from all trace of ego. Do not throw the blame on the recipients of the service or on your collaborators and co-workers or on God. Service is the most rewarding form of austerity, the most satisfying, and the most pleasurable. It springs out of love in profusion. It plants a seed on stone and is delighted to see it sprout. Plant it with love and the seed will discover love inside the stone and draw sustenance therefrom. I was reminded of the lesson in the Course of Miracles that said, I am sustained by the love of God. So everything is sustained, upheld, and held in divine order within the cosmos by the energy that we call love. And the reading that I just did about service and love is from the book by Bhagavan Sri Satya Sai Baba, Love is My Message. And love is our message. So, the fact is we are all multidimensional beings within a vast range of consciousness electives. It's like we have this receiving apparatus within consciousness that can set its dial at any frequency band and receive and transmit from the omniverse. We're all designed with that ability. In fact, the human, the divine man, divine human, is able to enter and attune to any state and level of awareness, including total divine omniscience or God consciousness. We're the only beings that have that ability. That's not already, you know, a god or a demigod. And even the demigods and the gods with a little g, even they don't have that full spectrum that the human, the human being, the divine human, has. Why? Because generally the creator gods are circumscribed within a particular area of influence, a particular wavelength that defines their divine realm. And so in that, they're also circumscribed and limited in a way that the human being is not. So only lack of awareness of our available options keeps us hovering around only one limited frequency band, and that being one with which we are the most familiar. So only a slight shift of consciousness and the world and our entire experience of reality can appear totally different. That's what's so amazing. And you know this in a smaller version when, for example, you're in love. Literally, everything takes on a glow and a beauty and a rose-colored hue, if you will, that makes everything more lovable and more appealing to you. But when you're in a bad mood or you're ill or you don't, you know, you're just out of sorts, everything has kind of like a grayness to it, a lackluster. And we even have a word for that. It's where we have a dim view of things. And that's because our inner light is dimmed when we're not in the flow of our divine self. So where psychedelic drugs could offer a temporary peek into another level of reality, every one of us has the ability to shift into another level of reality and to, moreover, live from that transcendental state all the time. And no, you don't have to be stoned and you don't have to be schizophrenic to do that. All that is required is to observe your life by identifying yourself as divine and adjust your state of consciousness as necessary to fit in with that. You know, you act like God. How does God act? Loving. What does God do? Serves. What is the state of God? The witness. It gets real simple. What is the nature of God? Peace, joy, love, omnipresence. You know, find out a little bit about what that means for you. Who are you when you're exercising your divinity? How do you relate from your divine self? So each level of consciousness has certain characteristics that identify it. So perhaps we could look at a few of them because we all share these in common. There's a human level, and those in the human state of consciousness are totally identified with their personal identity, their physical body, and what is happening in their physical lives and in the outer physical world. They identify with their thoughts and feelings, and the evidence produced by their five senses. And this is the state of unconsciousness referred to as the ego. The ego state includes all of the other levels of perceived limitation, fallibility, vulnerability, and all the areas where one feels separate and different from or superior or inferior to others. So the human ego self is self-conscious in the personal sense, identifying as it does with its singular human personality. So the human being is always running comparisons with other people and other things. That's why it develops greed and lust and envy and jealousy, because it sees the success and the well-being of another as depriving it in some way or causing it to have less. And that's a typical human ego state. So the human level of identification also includes the basic self level and the high self levels, as well as the conscious human self. So the basic self monitors and governs the physical body and all of the bodily functions, like eating, eliminating, and reproducing. And the high self is involved with keeping the basic self and the human self on track with the higher soul purpose for any given lifetime. The basic self is a Devic elemental spirit that comes from a shared collective repository, and its duty is to keep you physically alive long enough for your soul's purpose to be fulfilled. Now, some people complete their soul's purpose in a few hours, and others take a full lifetime. But when the soul is completed with its purpose for incarnating, it leaves. In other words, a physical body dies, and the soul moves on to whatever is next in its ongoing unfoldment. So everyone has one, sometimes two basic selves, which can be of either gender, regardless of the physical body's gender. And they are generally around 4 to 5 years of age in nature, childlike, and can express through a human being in childish and immature ways, and if not directed by the conscious human self. So many people live entirely out of their immature selves, their basic selves, and that's it. You have nothing but a very childish and immature personality that can be quite challenging to be around. And it's because they haven't opened to any higher levels of consciousness. So through the tendency to overindulge in eating or sexual expression or self-indulgence, the basic selves can get the human personality in a lot of trouble if they're not brought under the monitoring and self-direction of you as an aware individual. That's why you have to watch, you know, the things that you get involved with, where you go beyond propriety. You go beyond the proper limits that should be set on our activities, such as eating and sexual expression and how we live our lives. You just can't just indulge in every single thing that arises, because if you find yourself doing that, you're being operated by that immature part of yourself. And you need to be aware of that and begin to exercise some conscious direction in your behavior. So some basic selves are obstinate and resist the higher directives of the high self and your conscious self, and some are more cooperative and compliant with the soul's plan. But you, as a conscious self, are always in the position of training your basic selves how to behave, very much as you would train a young child of 4 or 5 years of age. Now bear in mind, you are not your basic self. It is simply on loan to you for this lifetime alone. And yet many people live entirely out of that immature part of themselves, and they're not even aware of it. You know, they just say, well, that's just how I am. No, that's not how you am. You are the I am that is. The I am that I am. That's who you am. Not this immature part that loves to, you know, self-indulge. Now, the high self, like the basic self, can come from any level, but it's also on loan from a collective repository of other high selves. And the high self carries the awareness of the soul's purpose, your divine blueprint, and it communicates and coordinates with your basic self in keeping the human levels on track with that divine purpose. Now, the high self takes the form of what could be called your archetype, your personal muse, or wiser self. However, bear in mind, you are not your high self either. And both your basic self and your high self will return to a collective repository after you leave your physical body, and they will be assigned to some other people at other times who require similar, let's say, co-workers. You can look at them as co-workers that come alongside you to help you fulfill your soul's purpose in any given lifetime. So they'll be passed on to someone else, is what I'm saying here. They will then be used by another human personality in directing the course of their human incarnation. Basic selves eventually evolve into conscious selves, and high selves evolve into more advanced levels, and all, in time, will manifest as full divinity. So everything is evolving and advancing as it moves through the incarnational patterns of various human beings. who are coming into soul infusion and soul integration. And you can see how every level of consciousness is participating in this great onward movement of spiritual advancement. Now you, however, are not your basic self, your human self, or your high self. You are the divine self. In the position of an awakening human personality, you are to serve as the conscious mediator between your levels of awareness, exercising choice in which level to engage and where to steer clear and also where to say no. You exercise your divinity by staying positioned as the overseer, as the director, as the objective observer of your life expression, allowing the divine spirit to operate through you as its instrument of manifestation in time and space. So the human instrument is marvelous in the sense that we're all part of unfolding creation. We have a hand, a conscious function in unfolding creation and in birthing new forms. And, you know, that flows right along with who and what we are. So, again, let me ask you, which area are you exercising the most in your daily life? Are you exercising conscious direction in what you eat, in your sexual expression, in the company you keep, in the thoughts you think? Do you watch your words? Do you pay attention to your effect on your environment? Are you sensitive to the environment in which you're living and moving throughout the day? Are you sensitive to the needs of the people that you share your life with? Or are you so self-focused that you're totally oblivious to everything but your own drama? These are, you know, things you need to look at. You'll see whether you're operating out of your ego, your human ego, or whether perhaps you are actually functioning out of higher awareness. The soul is always interested in serving. That's all you can tell that you're in soul awareness, is that you're focused into service. You have very little interest or attention in yourself. You're just not focused there. You're thinking about, you're not really even thinking. You're moving as a loving caretaker and living in the world as if it were your living room. Yeah, you live in the world as if it were your living room. And everyone that is in your life and crosses your path is your family. So many light workers, probably most, pray and ask for more conscious awareness of their own divinity and that of others. And then when nothing seems to change in how they see themselves and others, they often feel let down, like God didn't hear them or honor their request. No, you were heard, but now you need to exercise your awareness and catch yourself whenever you slip into unconscious automatic mode. One of the signs of going unconscious is feeling like life is stacked against you. You'll feel out of sorts and out of sync with how life is showing up for you. You'll be feeling frustrated, overwhelmed, victimized, and resistant over the way things are in your life. And those are all indicators that you've gone unconscious and are operating out of old conditioning and habit patterns. You've become victimized by your own lack of awareness. That's the only thing that ever victimizes you, is your own lack of awareness. So you've simply lost conscious contact with your true divine nature and have been drawn into identifying with the forms and things of this phenomenal world. So it's really important to stop periodically and check what you're making real. What are you making a big deal out of in your daily life? And what part of you is making a big deal out of anything that's going on in this world? It can only be your ego. Only the ego finds something wrong with things as they are. And it's an unpleasant truth, but I'm quoting many of the things that I've learned through Sai Baba, so we can accept it on his authority. So what to do when you find yourself identifying with your human personality and the things that are going on in the world, and you're upset and out of sorts, and feel victimized and overwhelmed and like you've just been steamrollered? What to do? Oh, it's so simple. Take a God break. Do a reality reboot. In other words, take a deep breath, a cleansing and releasing breath, and ask the divine light to clear your levels and assist you in staying connected with your divine essence. You know, you can just call yourself present in the remembrance of soul awareness. Called soul transcendence, you lift above the drama into the clear light of remembering who you are and what you are. And that, in truth, everything is just fine. Only your ego mind would judge it otherwise. Otherwise, it's just fine. So when you can catch yourself at the very first sign of irritation or feeling besought by the world and out of sorts, you have taken a giant step towards living more consciously. And you are exercising your divinity. Every time you catch yourself going unconscious and reacting out of your lower nature and choosing to realign and clear yourself and realign, you are exercising your divinity and you're strengthening it. And the more you strengthen it, just like when you practice any skill, the more you develop the ability to bring it into automatic expression. Until pretty soon, you don't even have to think about these things. You have shifted your awareness so much into your divine identity that you can be about serving and you don't have to think about even that anymore. You don't have to even remember your divine anymore. It's just taken for granted, and you just, you know, love and serve, which is what, you know, divinity does. So your inner sense of joy and well-being is your indicator that you are connected to your true divine nature. Happiness is union with God, as Sai Baba says. So when you get closer and closer and closer and more fully integrated with your divinity, you find a sense of joy and peace and well-being is your natural state. And that is your natural state. Anything less than that is something that your ego has thrown upon you and that you are strengthening because you keep paying attention to that. So redirect your attention to the truth of your divinity and just let those other things go. You don't have to do anything more than to recognize, oh, that's my ego trying to create drama. Okay. Well, I'm not an ego. I'm not a body. And I'm not interested in drama, so I'm just going to stay here and be in the peace of God. So know that any negative state, anything that decreases your joy, peace of mind, and overall sense of well-being is your indicator that you need to stop, breathe, release, and reboot your reality system. Reboot it before you crash. Yeah, your whole nature will break down and crash, so to speak, if you overburden it with human trivia long enough. Excuse me. So again, overemphasis or overindulgence creates a karmic imbalance in that particular area and causes or produces an effect that you then must address and bring back into balance. For example, if we don't use the physical body and physical activity, if we don't exercise it regularly, we will produce dis-ease and incapacity. The body is made for work. That's why retirement is a terrible, terrible idea. Very few people in the Western world know how to use spare time productively. They just get involved in all sorts of ego games and nonsense and waste what could be precious time in really becoming self-aware and self-actualized and divinely realized. So it's not a good time, a good idea to retire. Always keep busy, always keep engaged in life. Unless, of course, you are at a very advanced stage of spirituality in which you really will use your leisure time for God realization and deepening your spiritual levels of awareness. Now, if we don't exercise our emotions by relating with people and being involved socially in relationship with others, if we're not involved in loving and caring for people and appreciating the joys and beauties of life, and if we don't express our creativity in some way, we're not healthy emotionally. And we will develop a moroseness, become withdrawn, and develop a barrenness in our personality. We become dry as toast without butter. And you have to keep juicy. You know, you keep juicy by getting involved with people and relationships, because relationships are the mirror of our own self and our relationship with God. Now, if we don't use our minds, if we don't foster also our mental level by learning and thinking and exploring and inquiring and reasoning and stretching intellectually, then we don't fully develop. And we can even shrink our brain's capacity to where dementia develops. I've, for example, never known a person who studies, keeps mentally, vitally engaged in life, and meditates properly, deeply, and regularly to ever develop dementia or Alzheimer's. I've just never known it. I suppose it's possible, but I personally have never known anyone who really, truly utilized their higher consciousness that went into dementia. In my early years as an esoteric student and teacher, I was really impressed by the number of theosophists and esotericists in their 80s and 90s and even 100 or more years old who were brilliant mentally and vitally alive, spiritually and intellectually and you know, they were truly youthful and filled with life and in no way impaired by their age. I also knew several devotees of Sai Baba who were over 100. Elsie Cowan, for example, was 116 when she passed away, according to Sai Baba. And she was sharp as a tack. Phyllis Crystal is almost 100. And is still traveling around the world lecturing and teaching. So the point we're making here is that age has nothing to do with the vitality of the consciousness. In fact, Sai Baba said that you're most brilliant around the age of 70. And I think that's because we have outgrown many of the things that we occupy our time with in youth. And have hopefully by that time learned a few things about ourselves and about God and life. So the point we're making here is that every level in your life needs to be engaged, exercised, and involved in the joy of living. The joy of living. Are you enjoying living? So exercising your divinity in daily life basically means living and loving and serving and doing your best and offering the results to God. So that way you stay karmic free. And then as you maintain a harmonious balance between your levels of expression, you'll find that there's a natural beauty and balance to your life, so that your life isn't at random. It falls under a natural ordering, so that you get up within the cycle of awakening, and you work during the cycle when the energy is active, and you quiet down during the evening twilight, and you rest and sleep deeply at the cycle of rest and sleep, and you eat in a way that is supporting of your health, and the foods that you find digest and work to keep your body feeling its optimum best. And you discern everything that you do in your life. You don't let time go without it being divinely utilized. If you're not working and you have a life that allows you to organize your life as you would like, why not create an ashram-like schedule for yourself, where you have the morning where you meditate and you pray and you exercise, you do your yoga, and then you have your breakfast, and then you do your daily chores, whatever, and then you do your service work, whatever it is that you do as your seva, your service, and then you have your lunch, and then sometimes you have a little rest then, and then you chant, you have your time when you chant, you're on your rosary or your japa mala, you repeat the names of the Lord. And then when you prepare your food, you chant another mantra that brings the name of God into your food. When you sit down to eat, you bless your food and you put the prana and the energy that's appropriate for your body into your food. And everything you do it as a yoga. Yoga is to be yoked to God. It's in union. To live in union with God is yoga. So live a yogic lifestyle. Make everything in your life focus you into your divinity, into your divine expression. And don't allow yourself to get out of balance. Don't work beyond your capacity to where you're exhausted or you lose conscious awareness and precision. Begin to honor yourself and take appropriate care for yourself so that you're always on top of your energy and you're not letting life run roughshod over you. So the human instrument is designed to coordinate multiple functions at the same time. And most of them take place even, you know, without any conscious awareness of them. And the body will remain healthy unless it's driven to excess by an undisciplined ego mind, driving it to excess and addictive patterns. We'll do a show on addiction at some point. But every time you reach outside yourself for pleasure, to where it becomes a habitual process, that is because you are trying to fill something that only your divine nature is going to fill. So whatever you reach out for in the outer world, in a addictive pattern, is the sign that you feel empty, and you're trying to fill it with something that will bring you joy. But the only thing that will bring you joy is your own divine self. Everything that causes you joy simply reflects to you the quality of divinity, and that's why you like it and appreciate it and want it around you. It titillates and stimulates that divine core essence, and that's what we call attraction and love. It's not the person that you love. As Sai Baba said, we don't love the child for the sake of the child. The mother loves the child for the sake of the love that the child activates within the mother, and so forth. So too much emphasis in any one area can undo the delicate equilibrium of our system. And know that each level is nourished by whatever pertains to that level. Physical body is nourished by food and increases with the intake of food. Too much food or too little food both impact the health. And too much focus on physicality can also lock you into the physical dimension and the physical elemental. The emotional, feeling, and imaginative levels are nourished by beauty, by lovely sights and sounds and fragrances, and uplifting and inspiring creative pursuits and imagery. But too much emotional extravagance, too much living in one's imagination, can produce various forms of psychoses and neurotic patterns, or paranoia, schizophrenia, and other forms of mental and emotional imbalance. The mental body is nourished by acquiring information, learning about things, and where there is too much emphasis upon intellectualization, the person can become mentally crystallized to where it is impervious to the subtle, intuitive awareness of the soul. So that is why a healthy life takes into account the balance of one's physical, emotional, and mental levels, and balances work and worship, service and study, meditation and stillness, so that all of these areas are factored in to one's daily life, including recreation. And when all is said and done, the main question that we would ask is, when are you simply going to be yourself? When are you going to be God? And you're the only one that decides that. You're the only one. You are in charge of the when you are going to be God. It can be right now. It can be from this moment onward, where you simply, consistently choose to remind yourself, I am God. I am not a human being. I have never been a human being. I am God. I have always been God. I will always and forever be God. And from that, you see, all of the problems are ended. And you find what it is to be truly present and to truly live life inside out and all about. So I hope that was helpful for you this evening. Let's take a deep breath, and let's go out chanting Anai Hu. Hu is an ancient word that reflects the vibration of the highest manifestation of God, which is called Sugmad, the it of itself, and that which is. Deep breath. All the beings in all the worlds have happiness and peace, and happiness and peace to each one of you listening this evening. God bless you. Adonai.